look beautiful. And God is so good. I just want to just reiterate, it was mentioned last week, but today we have a welcome to Marin Vineyard afternoon tea. So if you are visiting today or you've been coming along for a while, if you could put that slide up, Joshua. So that means... great. And also to remind you about our camp, there are limited spots. It's a great time of growing a community and connecting with each other. So please, please register ASAP. And it's very close by up at Nunyara at Belair. So very, very close by, which makes it much more convenient. And we start on Friday evening for dinner, ending on Sunday afternoon, coming up in July. So please get onto that QR code. And we'd love to see you there, and please register soon because spots are filling up. Great. So this month of March, we're calling it On the Way to Easter. The church in its traditions has celebrated Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. It wasn't something that Jesus asked us to do. But in the church traditions, they pick that up. And we're actually looking at, in the month of March, the joy of this time of year or recognising that time in history. As Christians, we get to celebrate it every day. But we wanted to really pause as a community and consider what Easter means or the significance of it. Because it really makes Christianity what it is, that we serve a living God, not just an idea, not someone who lived a long time ago. And so each week this month, we are looking at really important themes that undergird the message of Easter. Last week, Simon spoke about salvation. Who was here for that last week? Yeah, I wasn't, but I just listened to it before I came, and it was wonderful. It was amazing. So if you haven't heard it, please have a listen. If you weren't here, I highly recommend it. And really meaty, and really talking about salvation isn't just a one-off thing, but there's a lot more to it. And so today, Simon is back again. How awesome is that? Let's give him a warm welcome. You might as well come up, Simon. And today he's going to be speaking about forgiveness and, again, fleshing it out. It's not just what we might think it to be, but he wants to delve deeply into that and bring us with him into that, which is very exciting. So I'd like to pray for... Yeah, I think it... We have a new podium. Awesome. Let's pray for Simon. Lord, we again thank you for your amazing presence. You come to overwhelm us with your love in a good way, to undo us from the inside out, that we would be able to have room for you. So, Lord, would you help us have greater capacity to receive of you today, your truth, your light and your freedom. Lord, thank you for Simon. Lord, anoint his words, anoint him. Empower his words that they would come and hit in our hearts just where they need to land, Lord God, and help us to be receptive and in joyful surrender to your goodness and your good words to us today. So come, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, and do only what you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Maria. Good afternoon. So, as Maria said, last week we had a look at salvation and faith and expanding our view of what those things are. And today I want to do and I made a point last week of saying that that the cross and forgiveness, although they are integral to the gospel, they are not the whole gospel. There is more to the story. But today, we're actually going to hone back down in on the cross and forgiveness. But I want to do a similar thing and expand our view of what that means. So we're actually going to jump around a few different parts of the Bible today, but I want to read from Hebrews chapter 9 as a backdrop. So if you want to follow along, I'm reading from verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. And then skipping to verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting for him. All right. So when Jesus was on the cross, at the end of that time on the cross, when he'd completed his work of dealing with sin and death, he said, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit. So I have a problem. If it is finished and my sins were forgiven at the cross, how is it that I still sin? So what was finished? And how does Jesus' death and resurrection relate to my need for forgiveness now? So to start to think about those things, we have to rewind a little bit and have a think about what is the purpose of forgiveness. It's probably something that you might not have thought of before. See, I think we think of forgiveness as I've stuffed up and I need forgiveness, and that's the end of it. But there's a purpose to forgiveness, and it relates right back to God's original intention for people. If you go right back, and you'll hear me do this quite often, because a lot of things, for us to really understand them, we have to go back to the garden and see what God set up at the beginning. If you remember when God created Adam and Eve, it said that a couple of things. One, that he walked with them in the cool of the day. So there was relationship. And it also says that they were created to subdue the earth, to rule and reign over it. They were to be God's image bearers, representing God's rule and reign across the whole earth. So what does that have to do with forgiveness? Well, for that, we've got to take a little bit of a look at those bits we never read in the Bible, the bits in Leviticus. We're not going to go there now. I'm just going to talk through a couple of bits of it. You can read it later if you like. It's about day 50 in the reading plan for the year. So throughout Leviticus, you have this whole system of sacrifices, some of which are, you know, there's sin offerings, there's burnt offerings, there's wave offerings, all sorts of offerings. Most of them have something to do with forgiveness of some kind or other. But what they're really about is about purification to live in God's presence. So you've got to remember what was happening in Israel at the time. They'd been led out of Egypt, and God had established with them the system of the tabernacle, which later became the temple. And the tabernacle or temple was meant to be the intersection of heaven and earth. It was the place where God dwelt with his people. Now, sin brings impurity. Where there is sin, it breaks the relationship between us and God and means we can no longer go into God's presence. And so the reason they had sacrifices all the time was so that God could continue to dwell with his people. The sacrifices were there to purge the impurity, to cleanse from sins, so that Israel could stay in relationship with God. This reached its high peak on the Day of Atonement, where they had a couple of different sacrifices. They had the two goats were picked. The sins of the nation were symbolically put onto one goat who was sent off into the wilderness, and the other goat was sacrificed, and the blood was brought into the temple and sprinkled onto the altar as a gift to God. And that was the time, once a year, where the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. So you can see that element of sacrifice and forgiveness led into direct relationship with God. And the sacrifices are directional. What does that mean? The sacrifice isn't just the killing of an animal. There is a whole process that goes on. It starts outside the temple where the animal is slaughtered, and gradually there's processes where it comes in closer and closer and closer. And if you have a look at the setup of the temple or the tabernacle, there is, you know, the bowls for washing and, you know, various stages as you get closer to the Holy of Holies. And so the idea of sacrifice is purification as you get closer and closer to the living God. But then the purpose, if we go back to the garden, is for them to image God on the earth. So they're meant to be in relationship with God so that they can be a blessing to the nations. It comes into God and then out to the world. Now, fast forward to Jesus. Jesus is dying on the cross, and he says, "It is finished, it is done." And then what happens? The curtain to the... Yes, he does. He dies. Yes. That's but the physical symbol that was given was that the curtain to the temple was torn in two. The way was made open to God through sacrifice. The relationship is available through Jesus. And then Jesus, you know, as we know, death couldn't hold him, so he comes back to life. He ascends to the Father, And then what happens? The Spirit is sent out. So you have the coming into the presence of God and then the sending out for the blessing of the nations. And so it's meant to be the same thing with us. The purpose of forgiveness is so that we come back into relationship with God. We find our restored human calling to be his image bearers, to be his kings and priests on the earth, to be standing at the intersection of heaven and earth, proclaiming his kingdom and sharing in his rule. That is the purpose of forgiveness. So let's move on and think for a minute about the cross and the purpose of the cross. Now, a little bit like I said last week, there you could spend weeks and weeks and weeks on this. So we're just going to have a look at a little snippet. One of the keys to understanding the cross is to understand Jesus as the Passover lamb. You know, he, just before the crucifixion, he had the Last Supper, his meal with his disciples. It was at the time of the Passover. And so it was a very clear signal that Jesus was saying, I am the Passover lamb. Now, the Passover lamb is not a sacrifice for sin. The Passover lamb, if you think back to the book of Exodus, was when they slaughtered the lamb and put the blood over the lintel of the doors so that the angel of death would pass over the people of Israel. So it was a marking that these are my people so that I can rescue you out of Egypt. So that tells us that the cross is an exodus. It's a rescue. It's a rescue of the people of God out from the powers of darkness. In Exodus, it was Pharaoh and the gods behind Pharaoh. It was judgment on the gods. Here, like Paul tells us, it's judgment on the powers and the rescue of humanity out of those powers, which, you know, we gave ourselves up to those powers in the garden when we sinned. And the cross is also Jesus bearing the divine judgment for sin. So it's there are many things that the cross is, but those are the two primary ones. It is the defeat of the powers for our rescue, and it is the bearing the penalty of sin. These things are brought together in Galatians chapter 1, where Paul says in his introduction to the Galatians, he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So, how is the cross relevant to us today? Well, do you ever find that you feel trapped by powers that are bigger than you? How do you feel about yourself? You know, when you look in the mirror, can you look in the mirror and say, I am perfect because I am a child of God? Or are you super aware of your own uncleanness, of your own failings? Do we feel free to fulfill our calling as kings, priests, image bearers? Or do we find ourselves pulled away to other gods? N.T. Wright tells this story in one of his books of a Catholic priest in France who was running the confession booth. You know, the Catholics have their confession. And these three young men thought it would be a great joke to come in and confess all these wild sins to him. So the first two came in and did that and ran away laughing. And the third one came in and confessed all these, you know, fake sins. Before he could run away, the priest gave him this penance and said, I want you to go and look at the crucifix up in the church, you know, and the Catholics have it with, they show it with Jesus hanging on the cross. And I want you to look at that and say, you did all this for me and I don't give a damn. And so he thought this was all part of the joke and went to go and do that. And he said that two times. And he found the third time he couldn't say it. And he walked out of that church changed by the power of the cross. He ended up giving his life to Jesus and becoming a bishop. But that's the power of the cross for us today. At the cross, our idolatry is exposed and we're faced with a choice. You know, will we accept Jesus' victory for me? Or will I keep doing things my way and worshipping the gods I want to worship? So, given that we've, you know, accepted Jesus' death on the cross and are doing our best to follow him, we know that our sins are forgiven and all dealt with at the cross. Well, what then? So you remember we talked a few minutes ago about the sacrifices in Leviticus being directional, being like a procession towards God. It's the same with Jesus, except in the Old Testament, they had to keep offering those sacrifices over and over and over again because they weren't perfect sacrifices. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. So as we read in Hebrews, it's once for all. And it means he died on the cross, he ascended to heaven to the Father, presents himself as the perfect sacrifice, and he's still there. You know, what does the New Testament say about Jesus now? You know, Jesus said, it is finished. So does that mean that Jesus is now just kind of kicking back, chilling with the Father? His work is done. That's it. This is what Paul said in Romans 8. Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Do you see that? There is forgiveness there. He's interceding for us. And then who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So Jesus is interceding for us to maintain that relationship between us and the Father. It's all about nearness to the Father, being close and walking in relationship with him. Listen as well to 1 John. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus continues on in his ministry. His ministry hasn't finished. When he says it is finished, he has dealt with the powers that held us. He's dealt with sin, but his ministry keeps going, interceding for us. He's still there in the presence of the Father. Hebrews said his blood speaks a better word. You know, his blood continually speaks to the Father of the victory that has been won, that we are now children of God and can stand in his presence. And when we talk about Jesus as the mediator, the ongoing mediator, the one who's interceding for us, I think it's important as well, because we have these kind of tropes in popular culture, to understand that this is not, we don't have an angry Father and we have Jesus mediating in between us and him, but by golly, if Jesus wasn't there, then we'd be in trouble. The model we need to understand is the same one we see in the story of the prodigal son. You know, the father is there with arms open wide, running to rescue us. The father and the son have the same heart and desire to save and bless and forgive. And I think Maria's talking next week a bit more about the role of the Trinity in salvation. So what does it mean to have an advocate? It means that Jesus is maintaining the relationship between us and the Father so that we can fulfill our calling as people. Let me give you it's a poor example, but it will do the job for now. It might help you remember. So I travel a fair bit for work, right? And that means I have a bit of privilege. It means that, you know, when you go to the airport and there's all the long zigzag line for the security, I can go through the quick line and go into the airport lounge. Praise the Lord. But here's the thing. I can take someone with me. So if you're traveling with me, I can flash my card at the thing and say, they're with me, and you can come with me through the short line, and you can come with me into the lounge and enjoy all the benefits that are there to be enjoyed. No cost. You just got to come with me. And that's kind of, don't stretch the metaphor too far, but it's kind of like that. You know, Jesus takes us into the presence of the Father. And we get to enjoy all the benefits of that relationship because of what Jesus has done and because we're with him. That's how Jesus mediates for us. So let me bring this to a close. Let's just refresh. This is what it means to be forgiven, to be purified so that we can live in God's presence and fulfill our purpose as a people who proclaim and live out God's reign, God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. It's the cross that made this possible. Jesus took sin away from us and defeated the power of the devil so that we can come into God's presence. But we need the ongoing ministry of Jesus as our great high priest, interceding for us and maintaining our relationship, because there is still work to be done. You know, we stuff up and we don't always represent God the way we should. But Jesus finished his work on the cross so that we can keep coming back, receive forgiveness, and keep going for the sake of our King. So can I invite Holly and the team to come back up? Let me pray, and then we're going to spend a bit more time in worship. So Jesus, we worship you, and we thank you that you died once for all, that you did defeat all the powers on the cross, that you've forgiven all of our sins, and that you bring us into the presence of the Father. So we just ask, Lord, that you would remind us of this over and over and over again, that we would know the calling to which you have called us, and that we would know that we are welcome in your house, and that you have fully empowered us to walk out our calling as your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to go into worship, but I just feel that Holy Spirit want to do some deep work in terms of. So I like Maria. Quickly listened to Simon's sermon last week too. So I'm just going to wait on the Spirit. If you just be open, I just feel the Lord wants to unstuck us in some of it, you know, in terms of forgiveness and the salvation is living the abundant life now. That's what it's about, and it continuously, not just once off. So I'll get you to take a minute again, kind of pause and say, Lord, I want to be with you in this moment. And I want to open my heart, my soul, my mind to whatever you have for me now in my body. Come Holy Spirit, and I really don't know what he wants to do, but I know he wants to do something. So we'll just wait, and we'll facilitate during the worship, all right? So just pause for a while, take a minute, get your heart right, and Simon, finish off. Let's come to the great high priest. And the great high priest hang out in the throne of grace. That's what Hebrews 4:16. Come to the throne of grace, confidently, full of courage. You know, with Simon's illustration, with the VIP card, you know, you just come in and just eat as much as you want in the throne of grace. It's a throne of grace, it's not judgment, where you receive mercy and find grace in your time of needs, where you are stuck. Let's get unstuck through the forgiveness and salvation. Here come Pastor Maria.
I agree, and something I sense God whisper into my heart before was to pray something about hope, and Simon pointed out that on the cross, one of the great things that happened was that Jesus defeated the powers of darkness that would want to come and rob us of the life, the abundant life that we're destined to have. And we sang about hope just before I got up before. And I sense to pray to break off anything that might be coming against us. I'm just going to do that now as we, in this moment. So God, we thank you that we can come with great confidence into your presence of mercy and grace for each one of us, because your heart for everyone in this room is that we live with great life, abundant life, life full of hope, full of peace, full of joy. And so now, Lord, we just come against now any power of darkness, any thought that does not reside or originate from you. We cut that off now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that any power, that any thought or memory that has been holding you will be broken now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, Holy Spirit, would you come now and bring your refreshing, bring your renewal of mindset, Lord, to each one, that we may walk with greater freedom in knowing who you are in our life and who we are, that we are redeemed, that we are worthy of your love because you have said so, Lord God. So come, Lord, with your freedom and your renewal now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Let's worship together, eh?
So feel free to stand or sit.